standing. Oh, let your man standing for the reading of the Word of God. I don't know, I'm kind of behind myself or ahead of myself or don't know where I'm at or something. Maybe all three. Amen. But ain't it good to be saved today? I'm glad that I know when that roll is. I'm on that roll, and when I know. Yeah, being in a new place, I hadn't preached here too long. But I'm glad to be back with you today in the Lord's house, and it's good to be saved. Try to bring what I think the Lord wants us to have today. May not be what you want, but I believe it's what the Lord wants, all right? I'm going to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. Revelation and chapter number 3, if you would please. Revelation chapter number 3. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter number 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's pray for just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful and thankful in my soul this morning that I know my name is on a roll. I want to thank you for that wonderful, glorious day when God visited me as a lost sinner. And by your marvelous grace, Lord, you spoke peace to my heart, pardoned me of my sin, and gave me birth into the family of God. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within each of us. Thank you, Lord, for the comfort, the grace that you give. And I do pray for the Brown family this morning, that in this hour of their life and their need, I know what they're facing this morning in the house of God in the absence of Brother Brown. And I pray that you'll help Brother Tim Hughes as he preaches there today. I pray you'll bless the people. Mrs. Brown and Rodney and Tim, I pray for them, their families. Should help them, give them the grace they need. Help us here. Thank you again, Lord, for the marathon and the work that was done there. These men that done such a great job. I'm thankful for that. I pray that you're blessed with liberty in the preaching hour. Thank you for the Sunday school time this morning. The good exhortation there from the Word of God, how good it was. And I'm grateful for it. Bless us now and help us save sinners. And bless your people, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, verse number 1 of this particular chapter said, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. I want to preach for a little while this morning on this thought, nothing but a name. Nothing but a name. You know, when I think of that, if a person has got a name, there should be something in their life that backs up that name. The Bible said about our Lord, said his name shall be called Jesus. And then it went on to say that there's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby man must be saved. And so the Lord not only had the name, but he had the credentials to go with it. But here's a church, the church of Sardis. The Bible said that they had a name, but that's all they had. They had a name, but nothing to go with it. Nothing but a name. Otherwise, other than the name, they were empty. Other than the name, they had nothing to offer the Lord but a name. I want to preach on that for a little while this morning, give you a little background about the church, bring that thought that God's given me. Sardis now is the fifth of the seven churches that John is writing to here in the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Geographically, the city was about 30 miles southeast of the church of Thyatira and probably had some fellowship with both Pergamos and with Thyatira. Dispensationally, out of the seven churches cover seven different dispensations of time during the church history. And dispensationally, this church covers the period of the Reformation, that period of time between 1517 and probably 1750 A.D. It was during this time that the Catholic Church done the very best that it possibly could to strangle the life out of the Church of the Living God. But you know, I want to say to you that like Jesus had already said, He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to say that to you today. It's still true this morning, ladies and gentlemen. The gates of hell shall never prevail against the church of the living God. He said that in the Bible. Now, I'll tell you, the devil has done everything he can do to destroy the church. But he's never got the job done. He's not getting it done now. He thinks he is. And he'll never get the job done because the Lord has already promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. And it won't. I'm going to tell you, it's built upon that rock and it will not prevail. Now, there were men during that moment of time, during that Reformation period, men like John Calvin, he was in that during that time. Martin Luther was in that time. One of the reformers by the name of Zwingli was in that time. And they were all working toward the Reformation. And that's why we call that time the Protestant Reformation. Now, I want you to listen to me. Out of that Reformation came every Protestant church there is, or sprang out of that we have in the world today. Either they sprung out of it, and then others begin to spring out of them. Somebody said, well, we're Protestants. No, Baptists are not Protestants. We're Baptists. We have never protested Rome. And our heritage is not found in the Catholic Church. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. No, sir. We came out of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He started His church, and I'll tell you, He'll consummate His church when the time rolls around. He will consummate His church when the time rolls around. So we're not reformers. I want to say, you know what Reformation is? It's trying to do a work from the inside that will change something both on the inside and the out, and that's an impossibility. The church cannot be reformed. It'll never be reformed. That's why Jesus said, come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a God to you, and I will be a father to you. Hey, you're not going to reform anything. I'm saying, even a Baptist church that goes sour cannot be reformed. It's an impossibility. And it can't be, there's no such thing as reclamation. You know what that means? They go out here, I'll illustrate it this way, they go out, the mines do, and they'll excavate and move dirt and get down to where, I'm talking about above ground now, and they'll move dirt and this and that and get down to where the coal's at, and they'll mine all the coal out, and then they do what is called, they try to reclaim the land. In other words, they try to make that land look like it was before they ever mined it. And I'm going to say to you, they never get the job done. You can't make something look like it was after it's been mined. It's an impossibility. Now I'm going to tell you this, reformation will never change a sinner, and reclamation will never change a sinner, and rededication will never change a sinner. But I'll tell you what will change a sinner, regeneration. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I'm going to tell you, that is the only way that you'll ever change anything is that you must be born again. And I appreciate what those men tried to do, Calvin, Zwingli, Martin Luther, all of them, but they never got the job done. You know how I know that? Because that mother of harlots still presses onward today in America, all across the world. You can either say amen or oh me now. I'm not being ugly or unkind. She's still moving on. And she is the mother of harlots.
Amen.
Somebody said, why is she the mother? Because out of her was birthed every Protestant church there is today. Now I want to reiterate the fact I'm not a Protestant.
Amen.
I am a Baptist.
Amen.
Now thank God for that. Amen. Don't make any apologies for it.
Amen.
I've never protested against Rome. Don't ever intend to. She can do whatever she wants to do. Now, that's right. Sardis, in the main, had Reformation, but they had no God. They had a name that they was alive, but they was dead. Nothing. They had nothing but a name. That they were alive, and yet they were dead. They were like whited sepulchres. They had a name, and they had the appearance of life. They had the appearance of life, but Jesus said, they were dead. Isn't that terrible? To have an outward form of life, but yet be dead. That's right. And that is possible to have. That is possible. The Bible said that there are those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That's exactly what Sardis had. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. They had a name, but that is all they had. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, thank God for a name, but I'm going to tell you, a name don't get the job done, not with the Lord.
Right.
Amen, that's right. Names don't get the job done. Now, stay right with me. Jesus said in Matthew 23:27, He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. You know why they were like whited sepulchres and on the outside they look good? Have you ever been to the cemetery? I'm sure everybody in here has been to the cemetery. Boy, they keep the grass cut off smooth. They keep the old flowers picked up off of the grave. Now I'm telling you outwardly that, oh, it's so beautiful. I've heard people say, boy, isn't this a beautiful cemetery? I've heard people make that remark. Isn't this a beautiful cemetery? You know what they're looking at? They're looking at the outside. But all, some of those graves are like whited sepulchres. They've been cleaned up on the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones on the inside. On the inside, they're full of corruption and full of excess. Amen. They're corrupt on the inside and full of dead men's bones. Look good outwardly, but they don't have anything inwardly. That's exactly what the Church of Sardis was. They looked good on the outside, but they didn't have anything on the inside. Amen. The inside and the outside just didn't match up with them for some reason. The Lord said, you've got a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Now stay with me. They had an outward righteousness, but an inward hypocrisy. Boy, isn't that like a lot of Baptists today?
Amen.
Sometimes they ain't clean themselves up. They ain't cut their hair. Praise God, put on a three-piece suit, get their shorts off and their tank tops. Put on a three-piece suit. Ladies can get their hair, let their hair grow down till they look like Rapunzel. Amen. That's right. Wear dresses that hang on the ground. Thank God the outside ought to be cleaned up. But I'm telling you, if all that is cleaned up is the outside, if that's all that is clean, if the inside is not cleaned up also, then you're a hypocrite. Amen. Amen. You may look good outwardly, but you're full of hypocrisy on the inside. That's what that Bible says. That's what that Bible says. The platter on the outside was clean, but within it was full of extortion and excess. How would you like to sit down at the dinner table today and look at the bottom of your plate and it'd be just as slick as a whistle? And on the inside, be full of old, dried, crusty food where you ate out of it 3 or 4 days ago. That's exactly what John is saying here. John's saying the outside of the platter you've made clean, but the inside is full of extortion and excess. The inside is still filthy. Come on now, I'll get to the message in a minute. That's the way the church at Sardis was. They had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. Their outside was clean, but the inside was full of corruption and excess. Amen. Now these words, extortion and excess, mean to plunder or take by force with no restraint and self-control. That is that they had absolutely no Christ-likeness about them whatsoever on the inside. On the outside, yes. But on the inside, no. Now I've got 3 points. I'll get right to them and we'll be done. I want us to notice, first of all this morning, the revelation of the Lord Jesus. How He reveals Himself to the church at Sardis. Notice with me in verse number 1. He said, "And unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he." Woo! "These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars." So He reveals Himself as the one that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. Now, if you've read the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 11, chapter 11 and verse number 2, He tells us what those 7 spirits are. He says that it is the Spirit of the Lord. And so He appears to them as the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. In other words, He said, I am your Lord. These people tried to control themselves, but Christ said, it's either me as your Lord of all, or I'm not your Lord at all. So he appeared to them as He that was in control of the church. Now, I want to say to you today that He's still in control of the church. In fact, He's the head of the church. In fact, that's why He was baptized. I want to say again, I've said it before, that crowd that believes you've got to be baptized to be saved, the Lord didn't need to be saved. He was baptized because He was the head of the church. Yeah. Ain't nobody ever gotten to church without being scripturally baptized. Uh-huh. That's another story. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole new message in itself. But I'm telling you, if you've never been scripturally baptized, and I'm going to say it like this, you can like it or not, if you've never been saved by a true doctrinal Baptist church, you've never been baptized. Amen. That's right. So He had the Spirit, the 7 spirits of God, that Spirit of the Lord. And then it says in 11:2, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. He had the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. If I can say it this way, the Lord appeared to them in His completeness, in His perfection. He revealed Himself to that crowd. He said, "Here is what I am." And yet, for some reason, that crowd just couldn't seem to get a hold of what the Lord was trying to tell them. His perfection, the fullness of God. In other words, He is complete. Now, I'll get to this in a minute. According to Leviticus 2, in His sacrifice, no sacrifice could be offered that had a blemish. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14 says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the," here it is, "the eternal Spirit, the seven spirits of God. He, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying that He revealed Himself to them in His perfection. In Him was no blemish at all. Hey, there was no guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. Now, like Brother Steve said this morning, He is a perfect man. There is no question about that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, and He revealed Himself to them as the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, the perfect one, the complete one. He needs nothing. He needs nobody. We act like God needs us. God doesn't need us. But I'll tell you what, we need God.
Oh, if it wasn't for him, I'd be on the road to hell today or in hell. But I'm glad, thank God, he looked down in mercy on a little old country boy one day, and by his grace he visited me. Hallelujah. And he that was perfect came to he that was ungodly, that he might, that he might clothe me in his righteousness and make me as perfect someday as what he is. Amen. That's right. That's right. So he revealed himself to them as the Spirit of the seven spirits of the Lord, and revealed as his in his perfection. Now I want to say this along with it. Not only his perfection is there, but his pardon. Their sin of lethargy and deadness had to be pardoned. In Revelation chapter number 1, in verse number 4, turn right there, it's just a page or two over, and read with me. Revelation 1:4. John to the seven churches, which are in Asia Minor, grace unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. There's that very thing again. And so not only did he reveal himself in his perfection, but he revealed himself also in his pardon. Because grace, grace is always connected to the term seven spirits. Get a hold of that. Grace is always connected to the term in the Bible, the seven spirits of God. And there is no pardon without grace. Thanks be unto God that sinners are pardoned today by the marvelous grace of Almighty God. Aren't you glad when you stood before the judge, died with the judge that day, died on the cross, that he pardoned you of every one of your sins? He set you free. He gave you liberty. Amen to God. He liberated your soul from the power of Satan, from the power of darkness, from the power of death. Amen. And begot you as a child of God, birthing you into God's family. Hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name. Thank God that the grace of God brought pardon to my soul one day. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, and peace also, the same scripture. There in verse number 1 of chapter number 1, or verse number 4 of chapter number 1. He said there, John to the seven churches, John Asia Minor, grace be unto you and peace. Grace has always got to come for peace. I'm going to tell you why there's so many people today that don't have any peace in their heart. It's because they don't have any grace in their soul. You read Paul's writings, when he writes to the churches, it's always grace, mercy, and peace, or grace and love be multiplied. But any time that grace is mentioned, it's always the first thing that's mentioned. I'm going to tell you the reason a lot of people don't have any peace today, the reason they're wringing their hands and they're worrying themselves sick, is because they absolutely have never experienced the grace of God. Brother, that is right. I'm telling you, when I got saved by God's marvelous grace, there was a wonderful peace, a heavenly peace, a sweet peace swept over my soul like I have never experienced before in my life. And I felt the burden of my soul roll away. Seemed like my troubles were all gone. Amen. I'm talking about my spiritual troubles as far as my position between me and my relationship between me and the Lord. They rolled away on that day. Brother, I'm telling you, God filled my soul full of the sweet peace of God. Hallelujah. And he done it by his marvelous grace. Thanks be unto God for that grace. Now, they had a name. That's all they had. Nothing but a name. They had never experienced that grace. They had never experienced that pardon. And then his power, he said he hath the seven stars. He hath the seven stars. Those seven stars are the seven angels of the churches, which are the preachers of those churches. And so he had the power right there in his right hand. Oh, thanks. That's right. You better believe that's right. Now I'm telling you, God still holds his men in his hand today. I'm going to tell you one thing I've learned, that a real man of God is going to do what God tells him to do and not what man tells him to do.
I learned this a long time ago, folks, that a preacher can't please God and men at the same time. And I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm going to please God. I love you, and I want you to love me, but God didn't call me to preach to please you. God called me to preach to please God and to preach the gospel to you that you might experience the grace that I'm preaching about this morning and the pardon that I'm preaching about and the peace that I'm preaching about and enjoy the blessings of God for all time and eternity. I ain't trying to please you. I'm pleasing God. That's why when that preacher came up to me and said, "Now I'm going to be short," said, "You probably ought to do the same thing." I said to myself, I didn't say a word to him, the older man than I was. But I said in my heart, I'd already got my marching orders. 2 weeks before, 2 weeks earlier, before that Friday, sitting in that green chair, God said, "Here's what I want you to preach." Before Brother Brown ever died, "Here's what I want you to preach." That's right. And I'm going to tell you, I knew God sent me there to preach it. It was a burning in my heart, and I preached it. And I didn't preach it to please man. Amen. God said, "Preach it to please me." Amen. Amen. And I'm satisfied that it pleased God, that God wanted it pleased God, because that's what Brother Brown wanted. Amen. And it not only pleased God, but it pleased that man of God that had already gone on to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're not looking to please man, ladies and gentlemen. No, no, no. Then I want us also to look at His purity. The Bible said in Revelation, look in Revelation chapter number 4 and look at verse number 5. The Bible said, "And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." There are 7 lamps burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And I wouldn't even want to say this, but God just laid it on my heart. But I'm telling you, that is an eternal fire that'll never go out. God is a consuming fire. You realize that He said that they should never let the fire go out in the temple? Hey, and as sure as that fire is forever burning in heaven, there ought to be a fire burning in the house of God today as well, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, we ought to all come to church this morning with a little bit of heartburn. Amen. I'm talking about a little bit of burning in our soul for Jesus. Come on now. We ought to come wanting to meet with the Lord Jesus. He's the one that suffered for you and me in our place and died on Calvary in our place, thank God. Oh, and I'm telling you, if we can't come with a heart full of love, reaching out to Him for the mercy and the grace and the peace and the pardon that He's bestowed upon us, I'll tell you, we are all men most miserable. We may be cleaned up on the outside and nothing on the inside if we can't feel that fire burning every now and then. Oh, I'll tell you, every now and then that fire gets burned in my soul and I can't get away from it. I remember when I was in Bible college. Brother Chuck, when I went through Bible college, now, I guess I'm backslidden.
Amen.
Because when I was in Bible college, I'd sit down in there in that little purple chair in the night and start reading my Bible. And I'm going to tell you, I'd read over a verse and I'm telling you, something would sweep across my soul.
Amen.
And I'd get to crying and get to weeping, get to giggling and laughing and crying and weeping and shouting. Miss Holden hollering and say, "What's the matter with you?" I'd say, "Oh, nothing. It's all right." Well, after a while, she learned not to even call in there. She knew what was going on.
Amen.
Me and the Lord were sitting in there having a time.
Amen.
I'm telling you, His sweet love and mercy that He has, and His grace and peace and pardon,
yes,
and His power that He has, would sweep through my soul like a mighty rushing wind. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't help myself. I'd get a case of the "I can't help us." And I'm going to tell you, the church today needs to get a good case of the "I can't help us" and just turn loose one time and let God know how much you love Him for what He's done for you in your life.
Amen.
Oh, that is right. Nobody could do what He done, and nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Bless His wonderful name. I'm about ready to run my head through a wall right now. I want to say to the devil this morning, save, save, save.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Saved by the grace of God. Brother Brown, I'm saved!
saved, I'll be up there with you in a little while.
Amen. Thank God. That's right. Folks, somebody sat down there and said, well, I don't think it ought to have been so loud in the funeral. You don't want to go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go to hell. You're living in the quietest atmosphere you'll ever live in. Well, I guarantee if you go to hell, ain't quiet down there. The Bible said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. Don't sound like that's too quiet. But I'm going to tell you what chapter 4 tells me. Tells me chapter 5 and tells me they sung a new song up there.
Yes.
Said the 24 elders fell down before the throne and worshiped God and cast the thrones at His feet.
Yes.
Then they all got up. Hey, and when they turned around and saw that lion of the tribe of Judah, when they turned around to look at the lion and saw a lamb.
Yes.
Hey, that's what that man said. Said, hey, don't weep. Said, the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed. Said, there he is. It's her. He said, that ain't a lion, that's a lamb. And they saw a lamb as it had been slain. For how long? What we know from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, the mind of God, He was slain from the foundation of the world, ladies and gentlemen. You realize God had it all planned out before you and I ever came into this life. God knew before the foundation of the world that His Son would die for our sins.
Amen.
And I don't understand the incarnation either. But I'm telling you, God came to this earth. Amen. And was born of a woman. Made Him a man. Overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Made Him God. He was God-man. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless His wonderful name. And I'm going to tell you, when they hanged Him on the cross of Calvary, they put that crown of thorns in His brow just like a man. He felt the pain! When they laid that lash to His back just like a man, He felt the pain! When they rammed that spear through His side just like a man, He felt the pain! When those walked by Him and mocked Him and reviled Him, He felt the hurt! When they walked by and cried, come down and save yourself and we'll believe you. I'm telling you, it broke His heart. He was, hey, because He was man and He died on the cross as a man. But wow, 3 days later, bless God, when He got up out of the grave, He didn't get up as a man. He got up as God, amen. He is God's man today at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He laid His life down and He took it up. Amen to God. But here was a church that had a name. But that's all they had. Now, I mentioned how He revealed Himself as He that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. But I want to look at the reputation of this church. He said in verse 1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith He that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now I want to ask you something. I wonder who told them they had a name. Said, you got a name. What give them that name? They had a name that they were alive. But He said, you're really dead.
Amen.
How'd they get that name? Boy, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. We've got things so mixed up and so misconstrued and so backwards today that it's pitiful. I'm going to tell you what we're doing, and you can like me for this or lump me for this. But I'm going to tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people sanctified before we ever get people saved. I'm going to tell you what gave them the name was the fact that they were all decked up on the outside. Oh, they really looked like they were somebody. They everybody around them knew who the church at Sardis was when they see them walking down the road, boy. They were dressed up just right. I mean, they were decked out. They looked good. They had everything looking wonderful. But there's only one problem on the inside. They had a rotten, ungodly, filthy, unregenerated heart.
Amen. That's right.
I'll tell you where they got that name. From their outward appearance. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I thank God for an outward appearance. But if that's all you got, you ain't got much. You, in fact, you don't have anything. That's God. I look at some of our political figures. I won't call no name. They got 3-piece suits, 2-piece suits, got their hair cut real good, even shaved. Well, they look like some of the purest saints that ever walked. Some of them got a beard, yeah. But I mean, they really look good. And if looks made you a Christian, about 90% of America would be saved. Oh, it's not looks. On the outward look. The Lord looked on the inside and still saw death. He saw men and women that were dead in their trespasses and sins. Men and women that were ungodly without God and without hope. He said, you've got a name, these people around here. You've got a name with them, but you don't have a name with me. In fact, if I could put it like this, he said, your name with me is mud. Because you have nothing on the inside to go with what you got on the outside. I'm going to tell you, that describes about 99% of our churches in America today. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Their reputation. Nothing was lacking as to the external manifestation. But there was nothing inward to satisfy Christ. If I can put it this way, Brother Herford, when he looked down on them, and I'll get to this more in a minute, he didn't see any love in their heart.
Right.
How could he? They were dead.
Right.
He didn't see any joy in their heart.
Right.
How could he? They were dead.
Right.
He saw no peace in their heart. They were dead.
Right.
No love, no joy, no peace. What's that next one? Long-suffering, goodness and meekness. No, long-suffering. Hit to me one more time.
Long-suffering, gentleness.
Gentleness, that's the one I forget. Long-suffering, gentleness. And goodness. And then faith and meekness and temperance.
Amen.
They didn't have it.
Amen.
He wasn't looking out here, he was looking in there.
Right.
He said, you got a name that you're alive, but he said, I'm looking in your heart and I see nothing. There's no evidence of life whatsoever in your heart. You got a name with man that you're alive, but you got a name with God that you're dead.
Right.
Ooh, have mercy. Have mercy. Aren't you glad? Come on now. Come on, come on, come on. Aren't you glad that day that you made that little stroll down to the altar?
Yes, sir.
Wherever it might have been, whether it was in a church or in your bedroom, back in a little back room in the house of God, out in the field, wherever, I don't care, out in the barnyard, I wouldn't give a flip where it was at. But you made that little walk down to the altar that God had for you. And when you knelt at that altar and looked up into the face of the Son of God and saw the tears are running down His cheeks and the love of God are flowing out of His heart, and He reached out to you with a heart of mercy and love and told you, if you just repent and come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. That day you got gloriously saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Got your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah to God. What a wonderful day that was, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something. He not only cleaned up the outside, but praise God, He went to work on the inside as well. Amen. I wasn't reformed. I wasn't reclaimed. I didn't rededicated. I got regenerated by the power of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. Aren't you glad for that day? I am. What about that day in October, Miss Betty, when you got in up here? Aren't you glad for that day? Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday. Whatever day it might have been. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'm thankful for it.
That's right.
Amen. I'm glad when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Shame on the devil. Ain't nothing he can do about it. Somebody said, your sins are covered by the blood. Beg to differ with you. My sins are not covered by the blood. My sins are gone.
Amen.
They have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. They're gone, ladies and gentlemen. If you're saved, your sins are gone. G-O-N-E, gone.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, yes.
God, the Bible said He came into the world to take away sins. The Bible said He came to the world to put away sins, and He came into this world to take away sins. And I looked that up one day, and you know what that means? That it's talking about, that it said that He came to the world to put away sins, that just like He took your sins. Now, this is just an illustration, that He took your sins and put them in a drawer, in a chest of drawers, and then shut that drawer.
Amen.
He put away your sin. Then after He put away your sin, the Bible said that He put away your sin, and then He took away your sin.
Amen.
Well, where did He take it to? He took away your sin. Somebody said, well, where did He put that sin? I have no earthly idea.
That's right.
And neither does He. Because the Bible said, He not only put away your sin, He took away your sin, and then He said He would remember your sins no more.
Amen.
He don't know where they're at either. Somebody said, God knows everything. He don't know where your sins are. They're gone. That's why He don't. It's because they're gone. They're in a land that is uninhabited. That's Bible, by the way. They can rest on nobody for all eternity. I don't know where that place is at. I'm going to thank God for it.
Amen.
A place uninhabited. Can you get a hold of that? Where would that be? Couldn't be hell, for there's people there.
Right.
Couldn't be heaven, there's people there. Not on earth, there's people there. But there's someplace out there that our sins are at.
Amen.
A place uninhabited. But there's only one thing about it. Don't nobody know where it's at.
That's right.
I'm glad I don't know where it's at.
Amen.
I don't want to know where it's at. I'm just glad He took away my sin, put away my sin, and remembers my sin no more.
Amen.
Amen. You stay right with me now. The church had come to a place where it lived before men rather than before God. Folks, is y'all still tuned in with me? We're there today. Brother Joel, I do remember where I put my handkerchief in that big box. Will you get it for me? Aren't we there today when men have come to a place where they live before men and they do God? Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean that we've come to a place where we'd rather satisfy men than we would satisfy God. God help us. And we're living to be seen of man rather than living to be seen of the Lord. And we're living to be heard by men. Oh, we can get preachers, get up in the pulpit, preach those fly little velvet tongue messages they got. But every time they do them, I remember what Spurgeon said. He said, God has never, never called a velvet tongue man to the ministry. And you know what a velvet tongue man is? He's I had a woman out in Arizona while I preached sitting back there with her fingers in her ears like that. I thought just going back there, butt's gone, just jab slapping her upside down here. See, won't you? It's like when the Lord rode into Jerusalem. All those that he had healed, which is the type of salvation, they put palm leaves down and strolled the path, and they said, Hosanna to the Son of God! Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to Him that cometh in the name of the Lord. That bunch of Pharisees said, Lord, tell your disciples to just hold it down a little bit. They're just a little too noisy.
Amen.
Friend, I'm going to tell you something. When you get to glory, there ain't nobody. You ain't going to be held down.
Amen.
You ain't going to be held down. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now let's have everything quiet. Boom. We're in the holy sanctuary. You've got that right. We ought to act like we're in the holy sanctuary. We're the holy God. Can you imagine if God, if it were possible for God, in all of His magnificent glory, walking down that aisle today, do you think you'd just sit there and stare like a knot on a log? Oh, I don't think so. His glory was to fill this place as it did in Isaiah 6. And His glory was to fill this place as it did in 2 Chronicles. In the temple. And His glory was to fill this place as it did in the Acts when they were in the house in chapter 2, and His glory filled all the house. The glory filled all those men that were there in that place, all those people that were there. I'm going to tell you something. Things would shape up.
Amen.
Somebody said, we'd have to go out on visitation. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't even have to go on visitation. You know why? The Bible said that day in the book of Acts that when Peter got up and got to preaching, it was noised abroad what was going on. He didn't have to go out. They came to hear what was going on. Had to see what was going on. I'm going to tell you what. You get the fire. You get the fire of God to burn. The fire of God to burn the house of God. Folks will come to see it. They'll come to see you burn, ladies and gentlemen. They'll come to watch. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, what is that all they do? Well, they might just come to watch. That's what I done that day. I just went to hear and went to watch, but I didn't go to get saved. But guess what? God had something in store for me. Amen.
Yeah.
Old Brother Steve over come to church looking for a wife. But woo! He found something he wasn't looking for. Amen.
Yeah.
And he found a wife also. Now, you can't improve on that. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. They gave gifts to others. They supported every ministry of the church. But it was only for the opinion of others and not the expressions of love for Christ. May I say, if all we ever do is for the opinions of somebody else, what they think about us, and not for the love of Christ that we have, it's all in vain. It's worth absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like I said, you can take your opinion. Now, you said $1.29, I believe they raised it to $1.79, and go up to Cracker Barrel and get a glass of tea with it. But that's what they had done. They looked only for the opinion of others. They did it not for the expressions of their love for Christ.
Amen.
Oh, the love of Christ constraineth us. We sat back here a few days ago and watched Brother Brown as he preached part of that message that he preached here 4 or 5 years ago. On love lifted me. He mentioned that verse in Corinthians. The love of Christ constraineth us. That's what it's all about, folks, is our love for Him. Now, I'm going to tell you, if what we do is not done because we love Him, it'll absolutely gain us nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, may God help us today to throw away the veneer that's on the outside. Let God fill us full of Himself on the inside. Amen. And make holy men and women out of us.
Amen.
And we may not have just a name, but praise God, that we might have something behind that name. Amen. And when men on the outside say, that church at Island Ford, oh, they got something. And God will look down heaven and He won't have to say something. You're wrong. They don't have nothing. But when the folks out there look down and say, them folks at Island Ford's got something, God will look down from heaven and say, amen! Amen! They're full of God! They're full of God! They're full of God! I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. Full of God. I want Him running out my ears. I want Him running out my nose. One running out my eyes. Amen. One Him running out of my mouth.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll just mention this. His unfinished work. She said, be watchful. Verse number 2. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. You know what He said there? You better be watchful. Because He says, hey, You're looking for a place to quit. You're looking for a place to quit. Jesus said in John 4:34, when they come back to him and he's at the well, Jesus said at the well, he said, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 19:30, Jesus bowed his head when he died and said, it is finished! Now I'm going to tell you something else. Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7 said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I wonder if we've come today to finish it, or are we looking for a way out? If we're not looking for a way out, we better strengthen the things that remain. Thank God for the way you got behind this marathon. But I'm telling you, hey, it's this marathon. There's nowhere to stop. There'll be another one. And if the Lord doesn't come, another one. And if the Lord doesn't come, another one. Now I'm going to tell you, it'll be up to us to keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. If God says, come out hither, we're going to have to keep on going and keep on going. There's no place to quit. Press on toward the mark. I want to say that to you as a church. Press on. Don't back up. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an inch. Press on. Move forward. Take up your cross. Carry your cross all the way.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. Woo. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm having fun.
Amen.
He said, be watchful. That is, wake up and be vigilant. Get revived. Get out of your sleep and slumber. Get revived. He said, and to strengthen. That means become steadfast. I shall not be moved. Don't let the devil move you. Don't let the world move you. Don't let the flesh move you. Amen. Not only prove it to the crowd around us, let's not only prove to the crowd around us that we've got something on the outside, but on the inside, we're not full of dead men's bones. We're full of life. Boy, okay, praise God. Now, then I'm going to tell you who that life is. It's Jesus. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I got Jesus. Somebody said, how long are you going to preach? I'm going to preach like you're done. Amen. I'm glad I got Jesus on the inside. Now I'm going to preach, keep on preaching like a 20-year-old novice till the day I die. Hallelujah to God. I've got Jesus on the inside of me. I can't help it. Praise God. But to act the way I act, He stirs me up on the inside. He's stirring me right now. Glory to God. Turn my heart. Woo! In my soul right now. Making me feel like I'm saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. What's that song? I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I'd love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by His love divine. Saved by His... Huh? Saved to what?
To a new life, sublime.
Now, life is sweet and my joy is complete. Why? Because I'm saved! 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 Woo! Amen. I don't mind no work like I used to, but I make it through as long as I got a little bit of help out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Become steadfast. Then in verse number 3, he said, and remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He said, if you don't, he said, if you don't watch, he said, I'll come on you as a thief. Thou shalt not know what I will come upon thee. He said, remember what you've heard, and remember what you've received. He said, if you don't do that, if you don't repent, he said, the consequence is I'll come upon you like a thief.
Amen.
He said, he looked at him and he saw no life and he saw no love and he saw no light. And he said, if you'll just repent. So, isn't that a wonderful thing? He told all those churches, repent. Isn't that a wonderful God? He said, I know what you've done. And I know where your sin lies. But he said, all you've got to do is repent.
that God gives all is repent and come unto me. I'm telling you what. Oh, I'm telling you, I believe I could just about, ooh, I wish I could say, hey, hallelujah to God. Amen, amen. I don't know what happened to my notes. I don't think I need no notes. Before long now, I don't think I need no more. Rome said throw them away. If I don't want to throw them away, I might need them again sometime. But here's what I like about it, and I'm closing. There was a remnant. He said in verse number 4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I'm going to tell you something. He'll always have his remnant. There was a crowd there that had nothing but show on the outside, nothing on the inside. But there was a little remnant there that had both. There was a little saved crowd, a little remnant inside that church. Now I'm telling you, he'll always have that little remnant. He told Elijah, he said, I've got 7,000 ain't bowed their knee to Baal. Hadn't kissed him. Praise God. Thank God for that little handful down at the house of God that just hangs together. May not be many of us here. Boy, I'll tell you, if we'll just find ourselves together in Christian love, I believe we can turn the world upside down. Amen. I know we can, because the Bible said about them that come from Jerusalem, that they that have turned the world upside down come hither also. Wasn't but a handful of them, but they turned the world upside down. Their outward appearance was correct because they were prompted by a pure heart. Then look what he said about them. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Don't ask something. Don't answer me. And I don't know. But he said there, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Can I ask you something? Who is that last his? His angels? Before my Father? I'll not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name to my Father and to his angels. I wonder who he's talking about there. Or he's talking about God's angels. Are the angels that watch over us. Somebody said, you're crazy. No. No, no. There's a company of angels looking on. Amen. You do believe that, don't you? Amen. I believe I can take time, I can take the Bible and prove it to you. There's a great band of angels that's looking over right now. Somebody said, how do you know that? When Daniel needed help, an angel came to him. I could show you in many other cases that an angel came to help those people of God. I wonder how many times that our automobile was just ready to veer into the direction of an oncoming vehicle, and an angel may have just turned it the other way. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe that, Joe. You believe whatever you want to believe. Leave me alone. That song says there's a great band of angels watching over me. But hey, then he said, he that overcometh. What did they have to overcome? And I'm done right here. What did they have to overcome? Their deadness. He said, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. What did they have to overcome? Deadness. And they can't overcome it, or he wouldn't have put it there. What are we going to do today? Are we going to have a name that folks out there can say, that night on them Fort Baptist Church, they got something. Jesus will look down and say, amen. Amen. Or are we going to be that crowded? Somebody said, boy, look at that crowd down at Island Fort Baptist. They're all cleaned up. They've got it. Jesus said, yeah, but you can't see their heart. They're full of dead men's bones. They're white as sepulchers.
They're full of corruption and excess. There's nothing there. I hope we're not that way. Let's stand together.